Live from the heart of Ballito, 88.0 FM.
It's 22 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Monday morning, and as mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to be going live now to Rage headquarters at G&G Productions, where Greg Walsh is standing by to speak to us. Greg, good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, we're on the cusp, on the eve of the biggest social event of the matric calendar, I would imagine that's fair to say. Rage is a phenomenon. It has been for many years. Been in the news of late, for all the wrong reasons, I would imagine. But let's just go over the history of the Ballito Rage.
Thanks, Dave. So, 2003 was the dawn. It actually, the concept started in 1999 in Plettenberg Bay. And in 2003, we recognized the cultural movement of matrix to the KZN North Coast as well, mostly Johannesburg, Sturm, Schlanger, and KZN and Free State matrix to Ballito. And, I mean, we took what was effectively an existing rite of passage and created a formal experience around it. So, I mean, if I go back to 2003, I think we booked the old Boston Action Bar, which I'm sure many listeners will remember, for two nights. And I think we had 300 or 400 people a night that came through to, let's be honest, relatively disorganized parties. And I think if we fast forward by 2010, we were starting to get to a point where it was a little bit too big to fit into nightclubs anymore. And we started in Mshlanga at venues like the Wave House with South African bands back then, like Zebra and Giraffe and Prime Circle, Foco Felici Card and various others. And it then sort of transitioned to 2000 and 2014 with the global electronic music growth into a DJ festival. And in 2012 and 13, we welcomed our first international artist. And I think, you know, I think by 2016, you know, Ballito Rage was certainly one of the two or three flagship outdoor music festivals in the country. And it's held a wonderful reputation since, obviously, with the exception of the devastation we dealt with a year ago.
Oh, let's talk about that. There was some serious press allegations about you guys being ground zero for the spread of the second or the third wave of COVID throughout the country. Kind of serious indictment, that.
And not an easy one to deal with. I think if you can imagine when you're being fired with 20 to 30 media requests every few hours and all of the statements are, you know, I mean, borderline criminal allegations. So it was, and at the time, you know, we all did the right thing and got ourselves into quarantine. So I was staying in quarantine by myself, being machine gunned from every direction. And I understood the outbreak. I think COVID-19 is such a dividing and hot topic because, you know, different people have very different opinions about it. I've never seen such a divided society with the sort of those that think it's a big farce and it must go away, and those that are absolutely terrified of it. And, you know, we were in a position last year, in a difficult position. We were sitting 2 weeks before the event. We were using the best tools available at the time. You know, the Gazette said events must be outdoor with high airflow, that nightclubs must be closed, that you must use temperature guns and you must do self-screening. We didn't have things like rapid antigen testing. No one had been vaccinated yet. Our research at the time told us that about 5% of our audience had previously contracted COVID-19. So, you know, I think we went in and we were the first sort of bigger event. And, you know, there were two things brewing. You know, the day we started Ballito Rage, there were 150 positive cases in KZN. But we were hearing rumblings from a lot of places saying, oh, the people that work at this bar in Florida Road of X, Y, and Z, and boom, I'm trying to strip, there's some guys positive there. And there was already an increase, if you look back at the data, in the Eastern and Western Cape. I think through those areas, there were over 2,000 new cases a day. You know, I think a lot of naivety, a lot of hope. You know, we thought we had the best strategy at the time, but 18-year-olds don't present many symptoms. And I think the reality was, through the coming together of exams and probably some celebrations even before Rage began, the spread had begun. You know, if you look at the fact that, you know, the data reports that 35 to 40% of the people that also attended Rage, because there were others that came and partied generally in the towns as well, 35 to 40% left or arrived home positive with COVID-19, that type of spread is impossible from a handful. It has to have been, you know, 200 or 300 that would have arrived already positive, unsymptomatic, or perhaps not being truthful about symptoms because of FOMO, and they didn't want to miss out. So,
sure, and I think that happened. There can be little doubt that there was a problem, that we know there was a problem, and what are we going to do about it this year?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is there's a lot more at our disposal than we had last year. And look, we thought hard and fast. We didn't say a word about doing a festival until September, because to be honest, Dave, we didn't think we were doing one. We had taken the position that it wasn't going to be possible. And if you just stop and think for a moment, we've organized one event since December 2019. And that was Bolito Rage 2020. Now, between us, between our Johannesburg and Cape Town and Durban offices, we would probably normally organize over 50 events, 35 staff members working hard in this industry. And effectively, whilst many businesses were impacted, we went from everything to one small bit of turnover in 2 years. So there was a lot of pressure to get back to business for us and for everyone in our industry, for our supply chain. And we, by September this year, we saw COVID-19 cases declining significantly. That was the first trigger. The second trigger was we'd been closely observing the European and North American summer. And I mean, they had been successfully hosting a festivals of 20,000, 30,000, 50,000. We watched Formula One Grand Prix coming back with, staggering numbers of 150,000 a day attendance. We watched Wimbledon. And, the incidence rates at these events, particularly where they pressed the you must be vaccinated agenda, were showing up relatively low. And if people were contracting COVID-19 directly or indirectly as a result of the event, they were mostly not critical cases. And I think it was that gave us a bit of confidence to say, if Europe and the States can be doing events successfully, and we've got a fully vaccinated audience, and we make use of rapid antigen testing regularly on all the staff and all the all of the guests who attend, then surely there's got to be a shot at doing this the right way, at reinstating our reputation. I think in the media we were banded as these sort of greedy, drooling monsters who came out of the soil to inflict harm on towns and people, and that's never been us. We've always had a high duty of care to do a fantastic world-class experience that's safe, that's fun, that has a huge safety net for the matrix if they, press their boundaries a bit too hard or they don't feel well.
We understand the implications. Let's take a look at this year, though. Obviously, you're taking it very seriously. You're saying that everyone that attends has to be vaccinated. How are you going to check on that? How are you going to guarantee that they have been?
Look, I guess, with the most advanced Photoshop, if you really want to, anything, try and get away. Like, many under 18s have got into an over 18 club. Maybe one or two are gonna get it right. What we've got is a couple of lines of defense. Firstly, you can't just bring your handwritten certificates. You've got to go onto the Department of Health passport system and download that digital one. It's got a QR code. So look, we're gonna check them. We're also gonna scan them. If you scan them, it brings up the individual's first name, surname, ID, and vaccination status, whether they've had one, two, which vaccination manufacturer it's come from. So, we're going to check the certificates, we're going to scan them. I don't know if there's a way to crook that system, I doubt it. But, we're obviously going to do our best with the tools that are available for checking vaccination.
And all staff have been fully vaccinated. So you're banking on the fact that the vaccine is going to be the mitigating factor against a fourth wave being generated by Rage this year. So we're hoping for the best.
I think the vaccination is the first start. But, we're all well aware that you can still be vaccinated and get COVID-19. And if you now look at what's looking at happening in Europe, it's clearly obvious that it's of course possible to contract COVID-19 and also possible to pass it on. So that's the test strategy. So we've got up in Bolito at the Sound Factory on our lawn farm, we've got a 600 square meter tent with 14 nurses and about 14 security staff all working from head to toe in PPE. And every single person, all staff, all guests, vaccinated or not, will go through that testing center on the first day before they enter. And will have to present a negative test there, as well as demonstrate their vaccine certificate. Once they've proven they're vaccinated and they've tested negative, then they can go inside and enjoy the festival. And then 2 days later, the same thing will happen again to everybody. And it goes for all artists, all performers, anyone coming to the festival site, officials, police, everyone's on board, everyone has to go through, be vaccinated and be tested. So,
well, it seems like there's a lot, you've done a huge amount to mitigate against RAGE being a super spreader event. We're holding thumbs. It's going to happen. It's going to be extraordinary. Let's talk about some of the fun stuff. What have you got in store this year?
I think that was also the challenge. It's you know, 2020, if I'm honest with everybody, wasn't fun because, you know, we had so much pressure on, you know, 1.5 meters social distancing, strict mask wearing at every instance. And, you know, the real clincher was we got denied a liquor license. This year, you know, there's a liquor license in place and we've gone ahead and said, you know what, we've got to, because there are limitations, there are restrictions, it's quite a cumbersome thing to have had to go and get vaccinated to come through a test and get a swab in your nose before you come in. It's got to be fun. There's also no nightclubs. So again, how do we keep the space interesting every day? So we're setting up the big, grand, beautiful Sound Factory site that everyone knows, just out behind Sugar Rush Farm on the Lawn Farms in Ballito. Although we've got a smaller limited audience because of the restrictions on gatherings, we're not holding back on bringing in the full geodome, the 70 meter by 30 meter dome. I think there's another 14 different tents on site for different little experiences, also to try and distribute people into different areas at different times, experiencing different things. There's international and top local musicians performing. And then the real exciting thing for this year is we're shortened to 5 days, but every one of the 5 days we're bringing a completely different theme. So from the opening night's ignition through to the second night, which is Garden of Eden, which is a very kind of green theme, is, you know, a lot of hanging green and all the lighting gets used in a green effect. The third night's called Neon Dream. So again, all the green gets loaded out with cherry pickers and cranes and trucks, and in comes all the neon lighting. And everyone's encouraged to come dressed in neon. We've got a tent on site where you can go and then get face paint and trinkets and glow sticks. So every night we'll have a totally different theme and a dress code, and just to try and make RAGE this year for the limited audience comes that, you know, signed up and said, we support you. You know, we want them going home and saying, wow, that was an incredible experience. We felt safe. We had fun. And, you know, from your and my lips to God's ears, you know, some positive media reviews afterwards saying, well, you know, look, events can happen safely because we desperately want to get back to not just RAGE, but to all of it.
Absolutely. Are there any top artists that you can break the news about today? Who's coming to town?
They're all announced. There's a couple. So from Europe, we've got some acts called Miss Malira, Una Dahl, Britta Arnold, a guy who stayed at RAGE before, Italian guy called Tioz is returning. We've got from South Africa, Nasty C, Eben Mayo, Cinnamon, Chanda Monkey. So yeah, lots of artists who've been, you know, amazing performers at RAGE before, and some new, slightly different. I think RAGE has always stood for bringing, particularly on the international artist side, you know, South African festivals can't afford to bring David Guetta. It's just not feasible.
Sure.
No, we like to bring artists who we believe, you know, look them up 3 years from now, you'll find them in the DJ Mag Top 100. And I think if you look back at our history, in the current DJ Mag Top 100, there's probably 30 artists who've performed at RAGE before. So come and enjoy them now. Okay. Before we can't afford them anymore.
I just want to tell you I'm available. Listen, are there still passports available?
There are still passports available. They're at ragefestival.com. You click on Belito. All the VIP passports are unfortunately sold out, but the platinum passport, or if you can only make 3 days, the three-day passports are available. They're obviously quite premium. It's got a lot to do with the fact that we've got to cover all of the cost of testing everybody. And Dave, if you and the team want to come through, you're most welcome, but you'll have to be vaccinated and go through the testing centre.
Well, luckily, I'm fully Y2K. I mean, vaccinated. And I just wanted to say, I went last year, or the year before. I was blown away. I mean, not too many fossils knocking around like me, but it was fun. It was really cool. Yeah. I just wanted to find out, where can people that are listening to this and want to find out more, because now that the imagination has been sparked, where can we go? Where can people go to find out more about the passports and the event in general?
So we're very active on Instagram, at Belito Rage. So just at Belito Rage, one word on Instagram. Otherwise, ragefestival.com and click the Belito button. That's pretty much all the resources you need. There's also, if you go onto the Instagram account and you click the link in bio, you can join our WhatsApp groups. We've got a couple of active WhatsApp groups where we just share. They're kind of admin groups only, so we just share information. They're not chat groups. where you can get the information kind of as it drops as well.
Well, we wish you a hugely successful event, a safe event, and I'm sure that you, listen, listening to the protocol that you put in place, if this isn't a safe event, then such a thing doesn't exist. I'm confident it's going to go without a hitch. We're looking forward to it, and we're welcoming you back to our lovely town. We're looking forward to engaging with you personally. Hope we'll get you into the studio.
And don't hire Dave.
Hey, no, listen.
Please don't.
Greg Walsh.
Well, I'd love to see you guys in the studio, so when I'm up, I'll let you know. And thank you for the well wishes. And thank you for having us back. I know it takes a town to welcome us back, and we'll do it right.
And there it is. Thanks so much, Greg. That's Greg Walsh. He's the head of the entire organization, G&G Productions, and they do a marvelous job. Look, I know that there are the critics. Yeah. There are. There always will be. I was one of them back in the day until I went and actually experienced it and saw for myself. It's obviously not geared towards anyone over the sort of barrier line of probably 18, 90, but it is enormously well organized. It's huge fun. Kids love it. They do their best to make sure that everyone is safe, and this year particularly so. So give them a chance. You know, everyone has a right and a deserves to be able to do business in a safe and secure environment, and they do a marvelous job. So we're wishing them well. It's now 23 minutes to 9 o'clock. Time is fleeting, and sisters are doing it for themselves.